Welcome to the Church Podcast, talking all things ministry to help you do church better. I'm your co-host, Chris Wesley, here alongside John Rinaldo. Today, we'll be discussing vision. I feel like, John, that's a big word in the sense where it's used a lot. And maybe sometimes people will say it's been used too much, yet it's still something that's so important for us in church world. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, well, Proverbs says, well, without vision, the people will perish.
Yeah.
That's pretty stark. Basically, you'll die if you don't have a vision. So it sounds like this should be an important topic for us to get into for church.
Definitely, definitely. So if you guys have your pens and your moleskins or yellow legal pads.
Or computer.
Or a computer. Yeah, that's right. We're in the digital age, you know, but I don't know about you. I still like taking notes by hand. I mean, are you all tech in the sense where you're typing it into a laptop or?
So it depends on the situation, but for the most part, I'm all tech and I use Evernote for almost all my note taking. I create files that way. First of all, my handwriting is terrible. So I often can't read my own handwriting, let alone other people try to read it. And second of all, I'm going to use it in a digital format anyway. So for me to then put it into a digital format later, it feels like I'm doing the work twice, and I type a lot faster than I write. So that's my bias.
Okay.
I believe others, you know, are not, you remember better when you write by hand. So I get that.
Yeah.
But it's not practical for me.
Well, you know what, that's why you're keeping the agendas on some of these podcasts. For those of you who are just jumping on, John's all the way in San Jose. I'm all the way in Baltimore. So we're literally thousands of miles apart. And so one of the ways that we communicate is not just using Zoom, which we record this on, but Google Docs. And John's constantly typing live notes while we're talking. And it's fascinating. Great. And I'm like writing them down on a little piece of paper. And yeah, John's right. I probably won't type it back up there. So he's carrying the burden on that. But, going back to the passage from Proverbs, and it's one of my favorite ones, without, you know, vision, the people will perish. I mean, that's a pretty daunting phrase, but it's true. It's true. We find, you know, not just churches, but organizations or even people that lack vision find themselves just going around and around in circles in life.
Yeah, I agree. And I think what happens in church is we start doing the same thing over and over and over again, and we don't innovate, we don't change, we don't keep up with the signs of the times, and we don't adjust to really be good at creating, evangelizing and creating disciples in our community.
Right.
And I think that's one of the things that I'm very aware of in my new role at St. Catherine is, when I was interviewing for the position that I'm in now with the pastor, I had all sorts of ideas that I was throwing out there, and the pastor liked the ideas, and he had ideas and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, and I start in this parish, and I sit there and go, okay, hold on, time out, John. All right, you've got a vision of what you can see happening here at St. Catherine, but you can't just jump in and do it all right away, right? And that. There are people who have been doing this for a long time. There are people who have been part of the parish for 30, 40, 50 years who are kind of used to a certain way, a certain style. And I think the vision is, and the mission, I think is really essential for us to drive how we move that stuff forward as opposed to just haphazardly moving forward. Right. I think that's one of the huge challenges. And I think that's my initial task here at St. Catherine is to really spend certainly the first 90 days listening and meeting people and really implementing very little new stuff until I get a sense of the community a little bit more. Even though I've been a parishioner at this parish for a long time, when you're on the other side as a staff member, it's a little different ball game. People look at you and treat you a little differently. Not good or bad. It's just now you're on staff, you know? And so like, oh, he's on staff. And I want to be very sensitive about how quickly I want to move forward, which is very quickly in most cases, and how quickly the community is ready to move forward.
Yeah.
And that's why for me, starting with vision and mission, and I want to talk about the difference between a vision statement and a mission statement, because we get very confused on that. But starting there, I think, is essential, because then you start to drive all of your activity in ministry based on those two statements.
Right, right. Yeah, I feel like we're now getting into this world of defining things. Last episode, we talked about defining small groups. So now we're going to define vision and mission, because I agree. I think that's an area where people get mistaken. People say, we have a vision statement or we have a mission statement. And you go on their website, and if they have it up there, you're kind of like, what is this? Like, is this a vision statement? Because I thought it meant X, right? I thought it meant Y. So why don't we jump into the definitions and then like peel those back. So how would you define vision, and then how would you define mission?
Yeah, great question. And let me, one caveat before I go into it,
right,
is you will read books and see websites who are going to have differing thoughts around what vision and mission and goals and objectives and all that are. And so what I'm going to share is from what I've learned along the way, my own framework for that, knowing that there's going to be other resources out there that contradict what I think. So let's just name that.
Right, right. Well, and you and I, we briefly discussed it here or there. You know, I mean, we get an idea of where both of us come from, but we've never really talked about our personal definitions of what that vision and mission means. So This is the first time I'm hearing it too. So
let's all right. Well, then you can challenge me if you think I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Well, I think let's start with vision statement. So I think a vision statement is really a statement about what the world should be or could be like, right? So it's a big picture. So I want world peace. Okay. That could be a vision statement, right? So world peace. Now, am I myself going to be able to do world peace all by myself? No, the answer is no. But that's where the mission statement comes in. So if the vision statement is world peace, and I'm being very simple with this, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the mission statement for your parish or your ministry, your church, needs to be about how we in our own little community are going to move towards world peace.
Right.
Right. You know, and so it's very different. So vision is how we see the world, how we want the world to be. The mission statement is about what are we going to do to get to that point.
All right. I have to agree.
Okay. Right, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. Two people agree on a vision. You know, but no, I mean, and that kind of makes sense. The reason why we always struggle with vision is we hardly ever agree on vision, what the definition of vision is. But I agree with you. It's the bigger picture. You know, it's the bigger picture of what would life look like, you know, 5 years, 10 years from now, like what's the ultimate goal? You know, like what exactly are we trying to accomplish is another way that I kind of phrase it. And then the mission is how are we going to get there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the vision is getting to New York City, it is going to be New York City, but the mission is how we're going to get there, how we're going to accomplish that. If you can break it down in that sense, it becomes more tangible, it becomes more achievable, and you know, and people are going to buy into that a lot more.
I agree. So I want to talk then, what would a vision statement look like for church? Now, there's no one right statement for any church. So don't take what I say or Chris says as, oh, we need that statement. Okay. That's not at all what we're saying, but I want to kind of put some more context instead of talking about world peace.
Right.
What is the vision of the church? You know, and I think that's a really good question for us to ask with our parish staff and our volunteers and our community. And I mean, it depends on, you know, who you listen to, Pope Francis or other folks, you know, but I think, you know, a vision could be is, you know, using Cher Waddell's language of intentional discipleship is like, the church is here to create intentional disciples who follow Jesus Christ. Okay, so maybe that's one vision statement. Another one is the church exists to evangelize, right? We've heard that before, right? You know, and so what I like about those two ideas is they're short and succinct and easily memorable, right? Mm. That's one of the biggest issues I have. My own pet peeve around vision and mission statements is they're too long and nobody remembers them.
Yeah.
So if I were, you don't have to answer this, Chris. If I were to ask you what the mission statement of St. Joseph, your parish, is, do you know it? Or if you were to ask a random person in the pew on Sunday what the mission statement or vision statement is for your parish, would they know it?
Yeah, you know, and that's something that we're undergoing right now is trying to define. There is a vision and it's based off four pillars. And, you know, it's an authentic Catholic experience, a welcoming community, a vibrant parish, and
I was going to give you bad props.
Vibrant, welcome, authentic, and it's going to kill me. It's welcoming and diverse. They were so good. It'll pop up to me. I'll shout it out randomly.
I was going to give you mad props for knowing that. Now I can't give you those.
But props. Even so, how it's like mentioned as a vision statement. It's more of these, it's not really defined as a specific vision statement. It's more of like, these are the four pillars that, we're going to focus on as a parish, which you could say then is the vision. And then within it is a lot of strategy, which are goals and mission of how we're going to get there. So it hasn't really been like articulated into a sentence, right? Where when I was at Nativity, the vision there was in a sentence. It was, to make church matter by growing disciples, growing other disciples amongst disconnected Catholics in Northern Baltimore County while influencing churches to do the same elsewhere. You know, and it was a long sentence and, not everyone on staff like had it memorized. For me, it's like, I'm such a geek, about these things, about vision statements and mission statements, that it's still killing me right now that I can't remember that fourth pillar. It's going to be like Costanza, from Seinfeld. But, understanding that vision statement, and not just understanding it, but memorizing it. I mean, people overlook that. I'm like, I don't need to memorize it. It's on this document. It's on the church website and everything like that. But memorizing the vision and the mission statement is so key, because then it becomes a part of the fabric of how you look at things. Going back to Nativity, the mission was to love God, love others, and make disciples. And with that vision of making church matter and growing disciples, I mean, constantly when we were looking at the programs we wanted to design and the things we wanted to do, it was looked through that lens. Now, John, I'm going to throw it back on you. You're at St. Catharines now. Do you know the vision and mission there?
No.
All right. Okay.
No, I don't. But it's one of the areas of conversation that we're having is the vision and mission what our community needs? Is it right? Do we need to look at that? Now, I haven't gone so far to really fully suggest that, but it's one of the questions that I've kind of written down for myself on my digital notepad, that we need to look at this. Mm-hmm. The reason I like the idea of memorizing, though, the vision and mission statement, because it is the foundational reason your church or ministry exists.
Right.
And we need to know that foundational purpose. And if we don't, if it's not rolling off our tongues, then I think it's easy to get lost and easy to forget why we do what we do. So imagine a hierarchy. Okay, I know, some churches do hierarchy really well and some don't. Some people like it, some people hate it. But imagine as a hierarchy. So at the top is your vision statement. What do you want the world to look like? Mm-hmm. The next down the hierarchy is the mission statement. How are you going to achieve that vision, specifically within your own church community? Mm-hmm. And then from there, you have, again, different books go different directions of this, but I talk about goals, right? What are your goals that are going to help you achieve your mission statement, right? Specific goals. This is where you start getting more detailed. This is what a strategic plan looks like. And we'll have to talk about strategic plans in a future podcast. Because we absolutely need to be doing that in church. I'm not sure we do that enough.
Right.
So the goal is some of the things that help you meet the mission statement. And then I would say below that, our objectives and action plans, right? This is when you get to the detail work, So where the mission and vision statement are one-liners, well, then you can have 3 to 6 goals, but then you can have hundreds of objectives underneath the goals, to kind of do that. But I think that's the idea of the hierarchy. But until you've got the top of that hierarchy in place, then how do you know what you're aiming for is really going to make an impact? And I think that's the important piece of vision and mission statement and why we need to focus in on that.
Yeah, definitely. A beacon of hope in the community. That's the fourth pillar.
There it is. A beacon of hope. Okay, now I can give you mad props.
Yeah, there we go. Vibrant parish, authentic experience, welcoming and of course, a beacon. So, of course, a beacon. So if Monsignor Hillgartner is listening to this, deepest apologies, but you know, even taking a step back, you know, and this is not an accusation on you, or anyone else who's, you know, jumped into a church job, but when I was looking at the job at St. Joe's, you know, that was one of the things that I was looking at were those four pillars, you know, was that vision. And for me, that gave me a strategic, you know, gave me some insight on whether or not I wanted to work for this parish. Because, you know, we could all say like, yeah, we want to work for the church because, you know, the universal church is about, you know, spreading the truth, spreading the good news, you know, growing disciples and whatever way you want to phrase it. But when you get to the local church, and this is like where I think it gets really difficult, when you get to the local church and their vision, there might be a different way of looking at it. You know, you might say like, well, I want a church whose vision is to be not necessarily a beacon in the community, but, you know, turn over the community because there's a lot of crime and poverty and, you know, things along that line. So through that scope, what exactly does that mean? You know, or I want to be part of an authentic Catholic experience. And we know just from not just working at different churches, but attending so many different churches, that that can mean so many different things. So yeah, agreeing with the vision is something that's important if you're going to be looking at working at a specific church or being a part of a church.
Oh, I agree with that. And I think a second question that comes to mind is, if you're looking at your vision and mission statement and sitting there going, oh, it's not memorable, or oh, it's a whole paragraph long, right, or something like that, well, then the question comes, do we need to go back to the drawing board? Right. This is a big question. This is not like a little small question.
Right.
Do we need to go back to the drawing board and talk about why do we truly exist? And do we need to redefine our vision and mission? And you can't do that on your own, obviously. You know, you need to have the wide community behind, certainly, you know, staff, you know, first and foremost, the pastor especially, you know, to kind of take a look at that. But just for fun, Chris, I went online and I looked up the mission statement for St. Catherine. Uh-huh. So it says, we at St. Catherine of Alexandria Parish are a growing, diverse, and welcoming Catholic community called to live and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ through worship, discipleship, and service.
Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that. No, I know. It's a little long.
If you had said no, I would have said like, oh, stop recording.
No, I know. And
have a side conversation.
Yeah. I better go talk with my pastor. You know, yeah, right. Yeah, no, I do agree with that. But the idea, I throw that out as an example because if what are people going to remember most?
Right.
Worship, discipleship, and service. So I think you can kind of get a memorable aspect of that, you know, because it's actually a really long run-on sentence. But then the question I have is, if you've got a vision and mission statement, how do you use that in your planning at your parish, through your homilies, through your liturgies, through your youth ministry, adult faith mission, small groups? How do we put that, intentionally insert the mission into all that we do? And that's where I think people say, great, we got a mission statement, and then it just sits there on the website,
right,
or on some document, and nobody really kind of pays attention or uses it in terms of how they move forward in their ministry.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, exactly. It's not, you don't just have a vision statement or a mission statement to have one. You have to use it strategically. And one of the best resources that I've come across that helps with that is The Advantage by Patrick Lencioni, you know, where he has these six questions he wants, organizations to answer. And the first one is, why do we exist? And I think that's important for as a church. Why do we exist? Like, if the doors of your church close tomorrow, you know, would anyone outside of the church community really care? You know, would they really notice, or they'd just be like, oh, just another business that, you know, shut down? If you know why you exist, then the programs that you do, the people that you hire, the structures and systems that you put in place have to all circle around that. You know, you want people on board who are going to commit to the vision. You want systems and structures and programs that are going to work towards that vision and live out the mission in that way.
I agree. And I was really happy when Simon Sinek came out with this book, Start With Why, right? And he had a great He has a great TED Talk. It's still good. I don't know how many years old it is now, but it's a 15, 18 minute video. Simon Sinek, Start With Why. Look up the video. It's a great way to get insight into what he's writing on in the book. But basically, his whole thesis of Start With Why is too many organizations, too many people start with the how and the what, right? Mm-hmm. And we start want because we want to do. We want to start doing.
Right.
Which is totally natural. I'm the same way. But we, Simon basically says, we got to sit back and ask that why question. And Patrick Lencioni is saying the same thing. We got to sit there and ask the why question, because then your how and your what are derived very clearly from the why. And mm-hmm. Simon Sinek articulates it or diagrams it through a series of concentric circles,
right,
where the smallest circle in the middle is the why.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second circle around it is the how.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third circle is the what, right? So it all starts with that bullseye, that center, that why, right. And then everything leads out from that. When you start with the how or the what as your center, Simon Sinek says that that's not effective. And what's great about what he does in his book is he talks about corporation after corporation of those who did the why well, and I think he uses Apple among others,
right.
And then those who didn't, like TiVo. I think didn't you say TiVo was an example that he used? Some of you listening are going, TiVo, what the heck is that?
So, it was huge in 2001, in 2000.
But they didn't have a why.
Right.
But I think the same thing is for us in church, It's like, we got to sit down and start with that why. And that's, I don't want to do that, quite honestly. It's like,
right.
That's a lot of work. It's thinking, I want to go do, I want to go make things happen. And that's why I'm spending time in my first 90 days and probably more, really just getting to know the parish community. What's the culture? What's the charisms? Mm-hmm. Who are the key players and influences? What do people think about the parish? How do people feel about the parish? And that's going to help me define how we go about living out that vision and that mission statement. Even though I've got, honestly, I spent on airplane the other day, I have 4 pages of notes of things I'm like, we need to look at. I'm all typing away. We need to look at this. We need to look at that, right?
That's the problem about having people like us on staff is we're like tearing it apart. Like, let's see how this works. I don't know if you were like this as a kid, but I would take things apart and then just like look at the piece and then totally forget how to put them back together. So, fortunately, I've learned.
We do that with church. That's really bad.
That's dangerous. So we gotta watch out for that. But
Chris, no, I'm worthless with my hands. So I actually never took anything apart because I knew I could not put it back together, and I still wanted to play with it.
See, you were a lot more prudent than I was. But you and I, we have this distinct advantage, right? We're both going into church, the second time. We've got years of experience working for other organizations before us. And so, going in, you have the same plan that I had walking into St. Joe's. I'm just going to observe. I'm going to be, in the room, just watching, taking notes, soaking in the culture, learning and praying and, asking God, okay, God, show me exactly what it is you want me to do. Introduce me to the right people, And I think that's the best advice we can give to anyone starting out. If you're starting out, in a church for the first time, if you're a pastor and you've just taken over a church, or you're a youth minister and you've walked into a ministry for the first time, spend those first couple of months, maybe even a year, just looking, listening, and praying. Go to adoration, spend quiet time in prayer, and just ask God to do that. But John, what about those of us, which is probably the majority of people listening to this podcast, who've been in ministry for several years, who have tried everything under the sun, and you're like, wait, I got to stop what I'm doing to figure out the vision and mission. Like, you can't just give me a book or, help me do this and figure it out. What would you advise them to do?
There is no book that's going to help you, that's going to give you your vision and mission statement. I think it's a really intriguing question. My sense is most churches have something written down already. Mm-hmm. And I think first things first, go to where that is and take a look at it. Mm-hmm. What does it say? Pray on it, reflect on it, think about it. Does it seem to fit? What aspects of your ministry already fit into your mission statement? What aspects of your ministry maybe don't? I think first start with that reflection, take a look at what's already out there, because I would, again, I'd be safe to say probably most churches have something.
Right.
Whether it's good or bad or indifferent, who knows, but they have something. And I think it just starts there. If you have serious issues with the mission statement,
mm-hmm.
well, then that's where conversation needs to start happening.
Right, right.
And for me, I would start getting a sense of what other key members of the community think, mm-hmm. Other staff members, other key parishioners who have been there forever and a half, certainly your pastor, your priest, as well, and see what they think and start to see, find out, am I the only one feeling this way about right. the mission statement, or are there others feeling that way? And start the dialogue from there. And then once you do that, you open up a whole can of worms.
Yeah.
And I think that's good, but I think you need to be prepared for that, because if you guys start communicating outwardly that maybe the mission statement is not good, we need to make changes. Well, you need to be prepared about how you're going to systematically go about doing that.
Right.
And that's going to take time and energy. And so I would be very cautious. I think it's good questions to ask, but I'd be very cautious, because certainly in many Catholic communities that I've been a part of, is change doesn't come easy.
No.
And you are talking about potentially redefining the why of your parish. That's going to be a change. Now, maybe most people don't know the why, and maybe it'll right. be a piece of cake. Like, oh, right. yeah, let's change the mission statement, blah, blah, blah. It'll be great, because nobody knows what it is anyway.
Right, right.
But maybe not.
Yeah, and I would say, don't be afraid to make that a part of the regular culture on staff, where every 5 years, or maybe it's 3 years, but every 5 years, revisiting that mission statement, say, hey, is this what we agree on? Rarely does the vision statement change. But the mission statement can change, because a lot of the things around us change. And so the way that we got to approach it sometimes needs to be looked through a different lens. But what I'm hearing you say, and I would agree with it, is that we have to have conversations with the right people. So if you're the pastor, get your staff together. Maybe it's parish council. If you're the youth minister, get leadership, the pastor, the associate pastor, whoever involved in that, and have that broader conversation of, do we agree on this? Do we really believe that this is what God's calling us to do at this time in this parish for this group of people, and start looking at it in that light?
Yeah. And I think the perfect time to do that, and again, we'll talk about strategic planning some other time, but I think parishes, just like many organizations and nonprofits do, should really look at developing strategic plans in terms of what are we going to do the next 3 years to move forward. And that, even if it's once every 3 years, like you mentioned, mm-hmm. Use that time to look at the mission statement again and say, is this still correct given the changing demographics in our community? Our changing needs, whatever it may be, is this still right? In many cases, I think we'll find that it is still right. And right. so it's not like you're going to change it every 3 years. That would be right. bad. I wouldn't right, recommend right, change right. it every yeah, 3 years. Yeah, yeah. But creating a culture where we constantly look at it, I think is a really great idea, Chris. A last couple of things that I want to mention around this is, Chris, both you and I are part of a multicultural, multilingual church.
Right.
Whatever you do in English, you've got to do it in Spanish.
Right.
And whatever other language happens to be part of your parish, because you're going to immediately segregate folks if you don't start doing that. And so I'm looking at the mission statement here for St. Catherine, and right next to it is the Spanish, because we have a large Spanish-speaking community. I think that's really essential. And the last thing I want to mention is, how does the school, if you have a parish school
right.
Attached to your parish, how does their work fit into the mission statement of the parish? Because I know in my sake, St. Catherine, it is a parish school. Mm-hmm. It's supervised by the pastor.
Right.
And so how do we continue to be intentional about having the same why
right.
of what we do, even though we do it in different ways, right?
Right.
Because the school's going to do it a different way than a parish does, but we're still one entity. And
right.
that's an important piece to look at if you happen to have a parish school attached as well.
Yeah. And, going one step further, if you are like a DRE or a youth minister, or you work in a specific department in your church, before you start planning your vision and mission statement, you have to take into consideration the rest of the parish And, you know, don't create a vision and mission statement that would contradict or conflict with the parish vision and mission statement. So that's just, again, like whether you have a school, a Hispanic community or a bilingual community, or, you know, you're the youth minister, try not to do that. But hey, John, it's hard to believe that, you know, another half hour has gone by.
We've got over, actually.
Yeah, we could continue to speak about this. Hopefully, those of you who listen to podcasts and are like, I can only give a half an hour of our time, have still hung on and everything like that. We'd hate to lose listeners only a couple of episodes in. But if you guys want to talk further about this, we invite you to reach out to John and I. John is on Twitter at John Rinaldo. I'm on Twitter at Chris R. Wesley. We have our websites, marathonyouthministry.com. Hopefully by this time, John's website is up. John, why don't you give that out?
Yeah, it'll be johnrinaldo.com. And of course, we have our website for this podcast, thechurchpodcast.org, where you will certainly be able to find all past episodes of our podcast there. Mm-hmm. And we'll have some opportunity for you to connect with us on that website as well.
Definitely. And if you want to talk further with us about creating a vision or mission statement, that's kind of like what we do. That's, you know, what John is trying to do with johnrinaldo.com. And that's what I'm doing with marathonyouthministry.com, is work with parishes and ministries to create these vision and mission statements, as well as healthy structures and teams. So definitely reach out to us there. But again, thank you to everyone who joined us. Thank you for being a part of this podcast. Leave your reviews on iTunes and your comments on the website, and we'll be sure to see you guys next time.
See you later.